We are going going to the last two sections of the book of John, the last 2 hours. John from chapter 18 to chapter 20 is the betrayal of Judah and the trial of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus and the burial of Jesus and even the resurrection of Jesus. So these four chapters are quite similar to Synoptic Gospel. So we are not going to spend too much time on that. So I think the time can barely cover all the book of John. When we study the book of John, we have to emphasize more on his divine character. He is the Son of God. Last night we studied chapter 9. Now we are going to continue study chapter 10, the book of John, chapter 10. We cannot afford to go into detail of every verse. So we just briefly highlight each paragraph, and if there's a key verse or key words, we give you a more detailed explanation. And chapter 10, the whole chapter is talking about Jesus as a good shepherd. In the time we discussed Jesus' seven self-introduction, we had mentioned about this already. And verse 1 to verse 6 is talking about who is a shepherd. According to verse 1 to verse 6, who is a shepherd? Who is the shepherd? Verse 1 to verse 6. The one who comes from the door is a shepherd. The one who climbs from the window is not a shepherd. Right? You see the chapter 10 verse 1. Now, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb in by another way, from the window or from the roof. And that man is a thief and a robber. But only the one who comes from the door is a shepherd. What does that mean, door? Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone proclaim they want to be a shepherd of the sheep of the Lord, they must be the one who believe Jesus and receive the salvation from Jesus. And this person is qualified to take care of God's sheep. If a person don't believe in Jesus, and they have some other religious belief, but they don't believe in Jesus, they cannot take care of the sheep of God. They are climbing in to the sheepfold from other location, not from Jesus Christ. They will do harm more than benefit to the sheep. But also, if you see the Christianity, a lot of people right now occupy a very important position. They did not totally believe in Jesus. Do you know in the United Kingdom, their national so-called religion is Anglican, Anglican Church. And they have so-called Archbishop. Very similar to the United States, the General Assembly. Right? Two-thirds of the Archbishop do not believe Jesus was born by a virgin. And these kind of things happen so popular among the Christianity They try to use a ration to explain the Bible, and it end up they take away all the divine character of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a good person. He's a person with high morality. They can accept it. So they try to preach Jesus selectively, not 100%. So one of the pastor of a certain denomination, very famous, asked our pastor, "So, do you believe all the Bible?" He was so shocked. In True Jesus Church, you believe all the Bible, every verse of the Bible. For them, they only believe selectively. So a shepherd must come from the door, from Jesus Christ, which means you believe everything recorded in the Bible concerning him, and you can be a shepherd. If you only believe part of it, no, you are climbing in from the window, other entrance, and this is a thief. It do harm to the sheep more than benefit to the sheep. Okay, this is chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. Who is the shepherd? The one who come from the gate, which means come from Jesus Christ. Now the next paragraph, verse 7 to 21. And then there are a lot of shepherds. Who is a good shepherd? Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Quite often I ponder about this verse. I always feel we are so far away from so-called the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, which means for the benefit of the sheep. The good shepherd has no reservation about himself. Today we have too much reservation for ourselves. So to be a good shepherd requires continual self-denial and continual sacrifice and continual effort to follow the footstep of Jesus Christ. It's not easy. Because if you want to lay down your life for the sheep, which means you already have no yourself. Even you don't care about your life, then what thing else you care about yourself? And in the beginning talk about there are another kind, 12. And he who hiring is not a shepherd. Hiring. Good shepherd and hiring is a different. Let me make an example. If you are hired by a company, right? When it's time you off your work, right? After you serve 8 hours, right? You are off your work, Saturday and Sunday. You are free, right? You will never think about your company's business until next Monday, because I am off already. That's hiring. You work according to how much you have been paid. And your duty has been written in your contract, this and that. That's your duty, right? This is called hiring. So shepherd is 24 hours. You have no excuse. 24 hours. Just a parent to the children, 24 hours. When you have love involved, you cannot separate with yourself with the sheep. Oh, I only think about my sheep about 8 hours. Right now, I'm off. So you call me. Right now, it's 8 p.m. already. I'm not working because it's my time of my off, my private time. Call me tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. That is hiring. So the good shepherd is 24 hours a day. This is the goal. Nobody dare to say we are the good shepherd. This is the goal we are striving forward. But if you want to get involved with a full-time ministry, you have to be prepared. Sometimes just like a doctor on call, 24 hours, even in the midnight. One day somebody call me in the 2 p.m. He say, the demon is coming. Try go into my body. Can you help me? I said, well, how can I help? Okay, the closest place is to go to the church. So I make a phone call for the church board. Open the door for you, and I'm coming because I live about 40-50 minutes drive away. I called the church board. The church board was just sleeping. Oh, demonic! When they heard about the demon possessing the person, everybody was so scared. And we go there from about 4 a.m. pray until 6-7 a.m. And the person gradually calmed down. Everybody go home and sleep. And this is only one of the example. Good Shepherd. Every year, for example, the church will allow you to take a so-called leave. After work for 10 years, you have 2 weeks, 15 years, you have 3 weeks. But unless it is necessary, we will not take our leave fully. I still have 1 day remaining. So tomorrow, I'm going to take a leave. I'll go to the ocean to swimming. Because this is something like a parent. The parent never tell the children, I work so hard already, that tomorrow I'm going to rest, don't bother me. Right? If your children have a fever, you still pray and take care of the children. So it's not easy. Good Shepherd. We strive forward, ask God to help us to have more love. I recall there was an elder one time that told the retired preacher, after your retirement, if you say, I don't want to get involved with church business, that is a proof you are hiring before. Because right now you don't receive legal allowance, so I'm not going to do anything, right? That is to prove previously you do anything because you receive the money, and then you're hiring. If you are a good shepherd, as long as you have no lack of your means to support yourself, then you work until the time you die. Because God give you the ordainment, give you the title, the duty, the office, and that duty lasts to the time you die. You walk until you die. The good shepherd lay down the life for the sheep. It's not easy, huh? Okay. Let me see. Okay, chapter 10, verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd, sheep is a quite a different animal from others. The sheep need shepherd to walk in front of them, and they follow the voice of the shepherd. It's quite different. You see the people, right? Bring the dog in the morning in the park. The dog keep on running, and the people are chasing after the dog. Right? That is different. The sheep is, you need to walk in front, and the sheep follow you. Now, so what does that mean? This is also an example. Not saying that we already done that. Everything you have to set the example, so that other people can follow us. Especially our life. Your lifestyle, we should not emphasize too much on the trivial. Of course, the trivial is important, but the big picture is a lifestyle. Your concept of value, every day how we deal with people. That's good. Walk in front of them, and this is not very easy. Walk in front, set an example. So this is a good shepherd. There's another one, huh? Good Shepherd. Verse 14. I am a good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my sheep know me. The good shepherd is to know your own sheep, which know everybody. Okay. In a certain sense, I believe all of you are shepherds. For example, I think a lot of you have get involved with RE, right? Religious education. I know some of the RE teachers are doing the job like a shepherd. Care about the student they teach. But also we can see some of their teacher are serving like a visiting professor. Or today is my class. I come and give a lecture, and after my class finish, I finish. Oh, so when you meet your student in the church, we have no any relationship. I already finished my teaching. Why it bother me? All right. So they are acting like a teaching, visiting teachers. But if we are a good shepherd, you care about the sheep. Sometimes you will make a phone call. If there's a student in your class don't come, if the student sick, sometimes you'll pay a visit and pray. You really use the love, care about them. Or one day you become a father or a mother. In a certain sense, you are a shepherd too. Your children is under your care. And you have to care them, especially their spirituality. So in the certain sense, everybody, we are serving as a shepherd. And then, verse 16. And I have other sheep that we are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd. There shall be one flock. What does that mean? One church. So eventually, those who belong to God is going to come into one church because we belong to one shepherd. And how the people can come into the one church? They heed my voice. They heed the voice of Jesus Christ. And what is the voice of Jesus Christ? The teaching of the Bible. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is the voice of Jesus. So if it is the sheep of God, they will listen to the voice of Jesus and understand, right? You have to receive the right baptism. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. And if a person try to receive the right baptism and receive the Holy Spirit, there is no other way to go but come to true Jesus Church. No other way but through Jesus Church, the one flock of God. Even though the Bible never, you can never find true Jesus Church, right? Show me true Jesus Church and I believe. I cannot. But from the prophecy in the Bible and from the requirement of the true church, and we look into one by one, and you know true Jesus Church is the one. So one day we are going to come into one flock and belong to one sheep. So this is a good shepherd. After Jesus finished this teaching from 19 to 20, everybody thought he is a demon and he is mad. Why listen to him? Others say, they are not this saying of one who has demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Right. So everybody has different view about Jesus Christ. Same thing. Everybody has different view about true Jesus Church. Really. If you have ever get into the internet, some of the website is talking about true Jesus Church is a cult. Cult, right? Just like this. They say Jesus is a demon. But you ask another question, if true Jesus is a cult, how come you can receive the Holy Spirit? How come so many miracle, wonder, and signs happen? How come the baptism people saw the blood of Jesus Christ? So many questions you cannot answer, but come back to the one answer. This is the true church. Okay. Chapter 10, start from verse 22 to 42. Verse 22 to 42 is talking about Jesus was forsaken by Jews. And in this paragraph, you can separate into two parts. 22 to 30, the evidence of Jesus' oneness with God. Jesus was really one with God. Verse 30. I and the Father are one. Father means God. I is Jesus. Jesus and Father are one. This is a conclusion of the dialogue between Jesus and the people surrounding him. The Jews was not able to accept it. So verse 31, and the Jews took up the stone again to stone him. Right. So one more. We think about this. When somebody said Jesus was a demon, Jesus tried their best to explain, but still they tried to stone Jesus. Same thing. If somebody try to labor to the church as a cult, you can do your best to explain, but you should never expect through the explanation everybody can accept as what we are saying. True Jesus Church is the only one true church. It's no way. Just like what happened in Jesus Christ. And 31 to 39 is talk about the argument about the saying of Jesus Christ. 32. I've shown you many good work from the Father, for which this do you stone me? 33. The Jews answer him, it is not for good work that we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man like yourself, God, make yourself God. So they thought that Jesus was blaspheming God, because he said, I and the Father are one. And the Jews say, you, I'm a human being, how can you make yourself God? And Jesus said, it is not written in your law, I said, you are gods. Pay attention, the gods is small, not capital. If you called them gods to whom the words of God came, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent me into the world, you are blaspheming, because I say I am the Son of God. Okay. You see, right, the Son of Man is man, right? Your father's children is you. You are man. Your father is man, right? You raise the dog. The children of dog is dog, right? And we are the children of God. So, in a certain sense, we are gods. Right? We are the children of God. But this God is different from the true God, just like your father is different from you. You have separate identity. We have the image of God. But the true God is the one who created us. So this is what Jesus tried to explain. So he quoted Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. The more important is the reality. He came from God, so he has authority and power from God. So Jesus used his work to authenticate him. So he has done a lot of mighty work. Verse 37. Chapter 10, 37. And I am not doing, if I'm not doing the work of Father, then do not believe in me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the work that you have, you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Jesus Christ tried to use his work to authenticate him as the one who come from God, and he and God are one. Because without God in him, there's no way he can do so many mighty miracles and wonder and signs. Okay, so this is chapter 10, and the last, let's see, last verse. 31. And many came to him, and they said, John did no signs, but everything that John said about this man was true. Verse 42. And many believed in him there. So you see, when Jesus go anywhere, always has two group of people. One group against him, try to stone him. The other group believe in him and try to follow him. Now the same thing. Through Jesus Church, no matter where you preach, this is the body of Christ. Always has somebody try to against us. But always has somebody try to believe us. If they listen to the words of God. And the second verse, John did no sign. Yes, John is the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, according to we quote from the Bible. But he never performed any miracle, wonder, and signs. However, his ministry is still very important. He was a forerunner, paved way for the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Yes, it's wonderful to have the power to perform miracle, wonder, and signs. But even if a person cannot perform miracle, wonder, and sign, that doesn't mean in the ministry of God, this person is useless. Because God has assigned different person to do different part of his work. Okay. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll talk about the gift from the Holy Spirit. The gift to perform the miracle is not ranked in number one. No? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 14. What was ranked number one in the gift of the Holy Spirit? No, look into the Bible. Chapter 12, verse 8, right? The first one is the words of wisdom. The second one is the words of knowledge. Right? This rank at number one and number two. How come? Because the word of wisdom, who is the wise one? It's God. God is the source of wisdom. Through the words of wisdom, we can understand God's will, live a godly life, to preach him. And the words of knowledge, through the words of knowledge, we can know more about his kingdom. No. And then, next one, the faith. And next one, the gift of hearing. So the gift of hearing is not number one. Quite often we confused the gift of hearing as a number one. No. Okay. Now we come back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a very famous chapter. We all are very familiar with this one. The raising of the Nazareth. Verse 4. We mentioned this. Verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. Right, this morning we heard Brother Ye testify. There was a brother's son sick in Philadelphia church. Whole church prayed for this young boy. Whole church. And the glory of God was manifest. The boy was miraculously cured. Right? So the sickness is to manifest the glory of God. So if we can use that kind of spirit to pray, the whole church, that every day just pray for the sick person, right? We pray for the revival of the church. We pray for God that holy work can be prosperous. You can see the church work will be different. So it's quite often we are waiting something happen, right? We have nowhere to go. Then we come back to God and we pray hard, right? So we are expecting some difficult happen to the church and the faith can be revived. But if nothing happened, we can rely on God, pray hard. And the ministry of God will be revived too. And from this incident, we know that it gives Jesus an opportunity to prove he's in control of the life and he is the resurrection. Okay. But from chapter 11, one thing I would like to share with you. Now let's see 21, the dialogue between Martha and Jesus to see what is the true faith. Chapter 11, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." 22. "And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will raise again." Right? So you see, verse 22, the Martha talked like a person who had very strong faith, right? If you ask from God, God will give to you. Very strong faith. And now, Jesus Christ tried to apply that kind of faith to that right moment. To that right moment. So, 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will raise again." 24. And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection and the last day." So he tried to push our his faith, her faith, to last day. Last day, maybe another 1,000 years. I pity, I have strong faith. You can do everything. 1,000 years later, if the last day you come again, my father, brother will be resurrected. And Jesus tried to bring the faith back to right now. Right now, your brother already died, right? Had bad smell. I can resurrect your brother. Can you believe? No. In the future, he's going to resurrect it. And now, I cannot. Right? So when Jesus tried to go to Lazarus, and other people stopped him, "Don't do that. He had the best meal." Right? Jesus even proclaimed, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life." They don't believe. So what do that mean? A lot of times, our faith is only conceptual. Only knowledge in our brain. If we have faith, yes, you receive grace 50%. But if you have faith to rely on him, trust on him, you really receive grace 100%. You are more blessed. So a lot of time you ask a lot of questions. Just like a questionnaire. When you land to United States, there's a landing car. Do you bring the food? Do you bring the money, right? If we distribute a car, do you believe Jesus can heal you? Yes. Do you believe Jesus can give you a job? Yes. Do you believe Jesus can give you a good spouse? Yes. Everything is yes. Right? We know in our brain. Now, yes, right? Now, you're facing the reality. Every day you're facing the test. Are you willing to trust your problem to God? I cannot. The same thing happened to Martha and Mary. So there, one day I read an article in a Reader Digest talking about 100 years ago. There was a stuntman. Maybe I mentioned this. You already heard that. They use the standard and the standard wire to connect between Canada and the United States over the Niagara Falls, right on top of Niagara Falls. Very long, right? And the stuntman used a bar, long bar, and walk through from United States to Canada. Wow, everybody was clapping the hand, right? Nobody do that, right? Waterfall, thousands of gallons keep on pouring down, and you walk freely to Canada. And then a few minutes later, the person walked backwards. The eye look in front, and walk backwards. On top of the Niagara Falls, wow, everybody just like crazy, keep on clapping the hand. So nice, so exciting. And later on, this stuntman proclaimed, "Do you believe I can carry a person and walk to there and come back?" Everybody said, "Yes, believe. We believe." The next question, "Whoever want me to carry you, go there, come up." He waited 5 minutes, nobody come up. You say, "I believe you can carry a person, go there and come back. And how come you don't want to come back? Come up." This is a very good example. You believe God can do everything, right? Yes. But are you waiting to trust your difficulty problem to God? "Oh, I cannot." And the same thing happened to Mary and Martha. "I believe they were resurrected in the last days." Jesus said, "I'm going to resurrect him now." "Oh, he had best meal already. Don't do that." The same thing. So sometimes when we say we have faith, are you sure you really have a living faith? Yesterday, Pastor Zhou was between 0 and 1. And between 0 1 and 1, there's a 0.9, 0.8, 0.7, 0.5, 0.2, 0.1. Right? There are different scales of faith, too. So really believe means you trust 100% to God. So this is a spiritual discipline. Well, when we, the third section, when we study the book of Ruth, we are going to one step further to elaborate. What is the right procedure to make a decision? What does that mean? How can we let the faith get involved with our decision making? We are going to study more in the book of Ruth. Okay. Verse 40, we just only read some important verse, verse 40. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Of course, you have to add one thing. You have to wait for God's timing. Right? Because everything has God's timing. You have the faith to trust on Him, and you have to wait for His timing. 1991, I was in Nigeria. I got a malaria. Now, that kind of feeling, the first time I feel malaria, is like a demonic. How come does the Satan come into me? It's cheating. It's kind of cheating, a trembling, like a Satan coming into my heart. I keep on thinking, I never come in mortal sin. How come the demon come into me? And after about one hour later, the fever started to develop. I suspect I have a malaria. And I keep on praying and praying. I take a medicine on the headache is so severe. I pray and pray. I repent all my sins. Really repent all my sins. After I pray a long time, I touch my forehead. I still have fever. I repent once again. Maybe repent not enough. I pray long, and touch my forehead. Still have fever. And later on, I try to learn to trust. Lord, it is you who sent me here. It's not I want to come here. So you are responsible. Just like in the wilderness, right? God wants them to go, not because they want to go. And after I trust, my heart released. And gradually, I can come down. Even still, I have fever. My heart can come down. And after one day later, the fever gone. So if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Yes, I believe now. How come I did not see the glory of God now? Yeah, you have to wait. Wait for God's timing. And His glory could manifest. Okay. And after this incident happened, verse 45. Yeah. And page 88. They plot to kill Jesus. A lot of people believe because whatever Jesus did, but the Pharisees plot to kill him. Too extreme of reaction. So this is chapter 11. Why do they want to kill Jesus? Chapter 11, verse 48. If you let him go on this, everyone will believe in him, and the Roman will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. Everyone will follow him. What they are afraid of most. Everyone go after Jesus. Okay. Chapter 12. Now we come into chapter 12. Chapter 12, there was a very famous story about anointing, right? A perfume to anoint Jesus in Bethany, from verse 1 to verse 11. Okay. Of course, this one paragraph, you can deliver sermon more than 1 hour. Each verse had a lot of meaning inside. We can only give you some highlight. Verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3. Mary took the pound of costly ointment and of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the anointment. The house was filled with the fragrance of the anointment. What does that mean? House can be interpreted as a church. And the fragrance can refer to the fragrance of Jesus Christ. He took a pound of costly ointment. All right? So we are supposed to produce the fragrance of Jesus Christ. If everybody come together, we have the fragrance of Jesus Christ. I think the church, how wonderful they will be, right? Everybody have the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Also, sometimes the member put on the perfume. Yeah, today, how come the church has a fragrance? Right? But that kind of is material fragrance. Right? More important is a fragrance in spirit, that everybody enjoy each other's virtue. And we come together, how wonderful they will be. Fragrance. Needs everybody contribute your own ointment. And then, Judah, verse 5, he said, Judah, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii, and give to the poor? If you only listen to this verse, you will feel, how do you feel? Oh, Judah is really a compassionate person, right? Oh. Give to the poor. Don't waste the ointment. Sell it and give to the poor. But whatever a person say, quite often is different from whatever a person think. Right? Verse 6. This he said, not that he care of the poor, but because he was a thief. If you sell 300 denarii and put into the treasure. At that time, Judah was a treasure, right? And Judah had a lot of money. And can take one by one. Today, buy a French fry. Tomorrow, different thing, you can buy it. So we understand. From here, we understand. Usually, including us, we did not mean what we say. We can say very beautifully in our heart, may not be so. Only God knows everybody's heart. Only God. So sincerity, what does that mean, sincerity? Sincerity means you mean what you say. When you say something, it comes from your heart. And God is a God of truth. He was very shrewd, but whatever he say is true. He never lied. And Judah, he speak a beautiful words, but he has evil intention. So he did a space for Satan. And now, verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. In 1 minute, we're going to finish. Chapter 12, verse 7. Okay. He said, that Jesus said, let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. Verse 8. The poor has you always have with you, but you do not always have me. If you look into other synoptic gospel, they talk about you have to go all over the heaven and proclaim the good deeds done by this woman. Let's pray in silence.